Good to see you. Wow, what a start we've had already. It's incredible. God just weaves things together. It's so cool. You know, we're praying out the back about heaven being open and about breakthrough. And then I hadn't looked at the song list, so I didn't know what we were singing. And then we're singing about miracles and about the wonder of God. And it's just incredible to see how he's moving. And let's, you know, believe that the Holy Spirit is going to continue to move as we delve into the word this morning. Is that good? Let's just pray quickly and then we'll jump in. Father God, we just thank you that you're here. We thank you that you're moving. And we thank you, Holy Spirit, that we can sense you and we can see you move. And we just pray that you'll speak to us this morning as we delve into the word, in Jesus' name. Amen. So we're looking at a bit of a series. I started it last week, just 2 weeks before we start on the December Christmas countdown next week. Flipping heck. That's come round so fast. So we're looking at this idea of getting connected, and it was born out of Matthew 22, where it talks about the two greatest commandments, and it says this: one of the Pharisees asked of Jesus, "Teacher, what is the great commandment in the law?" And he said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment, and the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself." So last week we looked at the importance of getting connected to each other, about the importance of friendship and relationship and having those bonds where we can share and support one another, and how that's really important to to not only build relationship via social media and those kind of methods, but also to have authentic, tangible, face-to-face connections with each other. Because firstly, life works better when we're in connection. And secondly, because God is relational, because he is a relational God. And thirdly, and most importantly, because together we can change the world. One act of random kindness at a time, one brick at a time, one step at a time, whatever it is, we can change the world together when we're connected with each other. And so this morning we're going to look at the other point, the greatest commandment about loving God and being connected to him. So we've looked at these two points in reverse, but that's okay. The first and foremost, we were created and we were called to love God. That's what we were created for. That's what we're here for, to be connected to him. Have you ever been around someone and they find out that you're a Christian and then they say, "Oh yeah, I'm a Christian too, yeah. I was christened when I was a kid." You're like, "Oh, okay, cool, that's great." Like, "Yeah, oh, I go to church, I was there at Easter, I'll be there again at Christmas," you know, making sure they tick off the important dates. And you're like, "Okay, yeah, that's cool, but do you actually have a relationship with God? Do you actually have a relationship with the Father in heaven who created you?" Because it's okay to come to church and it's okay to read your Bible and it's okay to pray. But actually, if we don't have a direct connection, if we don't have an authentic relationship with our Heavenly Father, then we're missing something. Because being a Christian isn't just about ticking boxes. It isn't just about attending church. It isn't just about going through the motions. It's about having a real, authentic connection and relationship with him. It's about knowing God with all our heart. It's about knowing God with all our soul and with all our mind. And that doesn't sound like something you can do when you just turn up to church every now and then, does it? It sounds like something that you need to be really committed to and really intentional about. Because if we're not intentional about building relationship with God, then we're not going to be able to build a relationship. Now, David... Oh, hang on, I think I've missed a page here. I don't want to skip out anything important. Oh, yeah, so last week we talked about the importance of putting different things in place, didn't we? About how you have to put in love and trust and communication and forgiveness in order to build relationship with each other. And that's really important when you're kind of building relationships and building connections. And it's important to put those things in place with God too when you want to build a relationship with him. But there's a couple of other points that I want to highlight this morning. Just to help us to understand how to go about building this relationship with God. And David in Psalm 86, he starts by expressing this deep dependency on his father. And it's incredible when Michelle came and shared with me this morning, you know, I've got this picture and this word, can I share it? And I was like, you're just talking about dependence. And that's exactly what God's told me to share this morning, about the importance of depending on him, about the importance of realizing that without him, we can do nothing. and that we need him in order to fulfill our purpose and our calling on our lives. And David says in Psalm 86, he says, "Incline your ear, O Lord, and answer me, for I am poor and needy." I am poor and needy. But wait a minute, David. David's poor and needy. So wasn't he wealthy and powerful? Wasn't he the greatest king of Israel? Yeah, David was king, but he's saying here, he's crying out to God, "I'm poor and I'm needy." And what he's not talking about is about kind of earthly need or financial need or you know, lack in that sense. What he's talking about is a spiritual poverty. He's crying out to God saying, "I need more of you. You know, I may be the king and the ruler of this nation, but I need more of you." And David had a great relationship with God. But he needed more. He recognized that he needed more of God, continuous infilling of the Holy Spirit, so that he can continue to work out and live out his purpose in life that God has placed him in. And it's the first beatitude on the Sermon of the Mount, isn't it? It says, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God." And it's the first because it's the most important. It's where our relationship with God begins, that dependency on him, that humility, that deep sense of need for God, recognizing that without him we can do nothing. And David's saying, "Lord, how I need you. Lord, I'm totally dependent on you. Give me more of your presence. Give me more of your strength. Give me more of your joy. Give me more of you so that I can continue to do what you've called me to do. If you don't deliver on this, then I've got no chance in doing what you've called me to do. If you don't rescue me right now in this situation I'm in, it's over. Oh God, hear my prayer. Hear me and answer me." It's this cry of desperation. It's this recognition that he needs more of God. Are you desperate for God this morning? Do you know, it was just so good to sing that last song. And just, you know, I recognize that people are just looking for breakthrough at the minute. There's so many walls that need smashing down. And God's saying, he was just prompting us through that song, "I can do this. In Jesus' name, miracles happen. All you need to do is lift your hands in faith. All you need to do is grasp hold of that truth that we need more of him in our lives and cry out of this place of desperation that we need God." You know, sometimes we can just recognize that, "Lord God, if you don't intervene right now, then it's over. If you don't step in right now, then I don't know if I'm going to be able to break through. If you don't move in power, if you don't do a miracle right now, then I don't see a way through." And it's that desperation, it's that cry of, "Lord God, I need you. I cannot do this on my own. I can do all things, not on my own strength, but through Christ who strengthens me." We need him. We need him at work in our lives. So to build a relationship with God, to build that authentic connection, we need to have dependency on him in place. And that firm understanding that without God, we can do nothing. So first and foremost, we need to come and live out of that place of desperation. But secondly, we need to have transparency. And David writes later in the Psalms, he says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." What an amazing prayer to pray. Just to open yourself up in that way and to say, "God, just look at me, look in deep in my soul, recognize any area in me that isn't right and show me. Delve into my deepest and darkest secrets and just draw them out of me. Let me just know what it is that's holding me back. Show me any area of my life that isn't right so that I can put it aside and move closer to you." We need to just have that authentic, that real, that transparent relationship where we say, "Know me. Know everything about me. Search me. Find within me those things within that I don't want anyone else to know." I mean, that's a bold prayer. You know, David's praying, "Search me and know me." Of course, God knows him better than he knows himself, and he recognizes that. But he's He's almost just allowing it. You know, God knows you anyway. There's nothing that you can tell God that he doesn't already know, but he wants to hear it from you. You know, you might say, he might prompt you to show you something in your life that needs changing. And so you cry out to him and say, out of desperation, I need you to make a difference in this bit of my life because I can't do it without you. Well, he knows that already, but there's power in words. When we speak things out, when we cry out in Jesus' name, there's power in that. That's when you see breakthrough, when you cry out in Jesus' name. He knows us inside and out, but he loves us in spite of what he knows. He loves us in spite of what he already knows. And that idea of being transparent and being honest isn't for God's sake, it's for our sake. Because when we're honest with ourselves, then we can start to build a real relationship with him. So it takes dependency and it takes transparency. So it's exactly 1 month to the day until Christmas. Who's excited? So excited. Oh my gosh, I can't flipping wait for Christmas. So I forced the kids to watch Home Alone yesterday. I'm like, we need to watch a Christmas film. And I was like, what should we watch? And, you know, they made some suggestions. I'm like, well, they're great, but should we watch Home Alone? No, oh, I don't want to watch Home Alone. We'll watch it. It's great. It's a classic. Can you call Home Alone a classic? I don't know. It's not It's a Wonderful Life or whatever, but it's definitely a classic. It's incredible. And I remember, you know, as a kid watching that film, you're just kind of thinking, wow, he's living the dream. This kid is just, he's got it all, hasn't he? He got no annoying family to pester him. He can stay up as late as he wants. He can watch whatever he wants. He can eat whatever he wants. He just goes crazy. He really just live life to the full when he first realizes that his family has disappeared. But as a parent watching that film, oh my gosh, it's like your worst nightmare, isn't it? Oh, have you ever been, I don't know, shopping and you've just lost sight of your child for a minute and you're just like, where are they? Where are they? And you don't want to cry out because you don't be judged as a bad parent. So you're just like, they must be here somewhere. But inside this panic is rising within you and you're like, they must be there somewhere. But this family, you know, they go on holiday and they're on the plane and then the mum is like, oh, there's something just not right. Have we forgotten to turn off the coffee? No, I did that. Did you forget to shut the garage? Oh, yeah, that's what it was. No, that's not what it was. What is it? Kevin! And she realizes. It's like, oh, my gosh. Did I make you jump there? Well, it might encourage you to know that Mary and Joseph, the parents of Jesus, were no different to Kevin's parents. So we're just going to read from Luke in chapter 2, just a little portion of scripture here. It talks about Jesus in the temple. And it says this, so starting at verse 41 of Luke chapter 2, it says, "Now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover, and when he was 12 years old, they went up according to custom. And when the feast was ended, as they were returning, the boy stayed behind in Jerusalem. His parents didn't know it, but supposing him to be in the group, they went a day's journey and then began to search for him among their relatives and acquaintances. And when they didn't find him, they returned to Jerusalem searching for him. And after 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answers. And when his parents saw him, they were astonished. And his mother said to him, 'Son, why have you treated us so? Behold, your father and I have been searching for you in great distress.' And he said to them, 'Why were you looking for me? Did you not know I must be in my father's house?'" So they traveled a whole day without realizing that he wasn't with him. Now I get that. We've got quite a big family. And then when you add in together Ruth's family as well, it just gets a bit insane. Last year we went to Spain. There were 16 of us. We were going on a plane. There's a lot of kids. I don't know how we did it without losing one of them, if I'm honest. But we got there in the end. So I totally understand when you're in a big group like that, you kind of trust each other to keep an eye out on the kids. But you don't really know who's keeping an eye on which kids. So at some point, someone could go missing. So I totally get what's gone on here. But they left him behind. He was home alone. And I can say he was home alone because he was in his father's house. He was at home. So this morning from this passage, I just want to pull out three little points to help us understand how and why we need to live a life connected to God. And the first is this: know your identity. When his parents finally found him after 3 days, he was like, "Why were you looking for me? Of course I'm here. Of course I'm in my father's house. Didn't you know I must be in my father's house," it says. In the Passion Translation, it says, "It was necessary for me to be here in my father's house, consumed with him." Wow. There was just that passion for him to be around his father, to be in the presence of his father, to be learning, to be speaking with others, to be sharing. There was this just passion and this understanding of who he was and whose he was. And even though he was talking to his parents, he was talking to Mary and Joseph, he wasn't talking about Joseph, his earthly father. He was talking about his heavenly father. You know, even at the age of 12, he knew his identity. At the age of 12, he knew that he was the Son of God. He knew it, but it goes on later in that passage to say his parents didn't have a clue. Do you know your identity? Do you know your purpose? Do you know your heavenly Father? Do you have that sense of urgency to be around him, that sense of passion, just to want to spend more time getting to know him, to talking about him, talking with others about him? Do you have that inside you? Because he made us. He is our creator. He is our heavenly Father. We are his, and he is ours. You know, our identity isn't found in a job title or in a salary or in who we spend time with or in our social status or who our earthly parents are. That's not where our identity is found. Our identity is found in our heavenly Father. Our identity is found in the sacrifice that he made for us. And he now lives within us. Through the power of the Holy Spirit at work in us, I am no longer weak because his strength is my strength. That's my identity. His strength is my strength. His joy is my joy because I'm found in him. His love is my love. His peace is my peace. We can have all of those things because Christ lives within us. That is where our identity is found. We are holy. We are sanctified. We are set apart by his amazing grace. That is your identity. That's your identity. Not any of the lies that have been spoken over you. Not any of the labels that this world might attach to you. Not any self-doubts or insecurities that you might have. Your identity is found in Christ. When you know you're his child and that you know he is your creator and you know he is your father, then you'll know that you're deeply and truly loved. Do you know, so often people on earth can mess up. And so often connections can be broken and love can be shattered and trust can be misplaced. But when you place your love and your trust and your dependency on Christ, you can be assured that he is with you and that he is for you and that he will never betray you. You have a loving Father watching over you. We can rest secure in him. We can rest secure in him. And I believe that's why Jesus wasn't afraid. Even though he was left alone in Jerusalem at 12 years old for 3 days, he wasn't afraid because he knew his identity. He knew that his Father was watching over him. He knew he was safe in his Father's house. So know your identity, but also know your heart. You have a special place in God's heart. Each and every one of us has a special place in God's heart. But does he have a special place in yours? You know, it's so important that we put him first. That's what it says. We are created to love God above everything else, to love him first. Jesus said, "Did you not know that I must be about my Father's business? I had to be here. There was no other place for me to be than in the presence of my Father." You know, they're strong words. There is absolutely no doubt. He knew that he was exactly where he needed to be. There was absolute certainty. Absolute certainty. How do we get to be that confident that we are exactly where we need to be? How do we get to have that assurance that we're doing exactly what we're supposed to be doing? By being connected to the Father. Because when you're walking with him and you're connected with him and you're sharing with him and you're doing life with him and you're allowing him to know you inside and out, then he will highlight to you what you're supposed to do. He'll bring forth in you a passion that bubbles up so much that you can't think about anything else. When you're in that connection with him, he just wants to give to you and to love on you and to bless you and to show you his purpose and his plans in your life. We get to have that confidence when we're connected with the Father. And we can see the heart of this young boy. He was totally unafraid, even though he was left alone for 3 days. You know, we're not told how he managed for those 3 days, where he went exactly or what he did or who he spent time with, but he managed for those 3 days. How do you think Joe would get along if you left him for 3 days? Think he'd be all right? About Ethan, would he be all right if you just left him alone for 3 days? I don't know, I worry about Taya, she turns 17 tomorrow. You know, flipping heck, but he was fine. He felt at peace. He knew exactly where he was supposed to be and he was exactly right in that. His heart was with his Father's business. He had to be about his Father's business. He was concerned with what the Father was doing. He was concerned with what the Father was saying. And it says in verse 47, all who heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answers. So he must have had some knowledge, even at 12, of the scriptures and of this understanding of what was going on. But he had also a deep desire to know more. And he asked questions of the religious leaders and the teachers in the temple. He asked questions, but he also gave answers. Answers that astounded them. So he had this knowledge and this understanding because he had this desire to be connected to God. He had this drive, this motivation within inside of him. You know, what drives us? What motivates us? We did a bit of a self-development thing at work this past couple of weeks about just understanding our motivations. And, you know, some people are motivated in work by finances or by promotion. Some people are motivated by being able to shout about what they're good at and what they've done well at. Some people are motivated simply by doing the best that they can without need for recognition. Some people are motivated about just helping other people. And each and every one of us has something different within us that motivates us to do the things that we do, but we need to understand what it is that motivates us. And Jesus at 12, you know, 12-year-old boys, you don't expect them to have this passion to hang out at church and to read the Bible. You know, we hope that for our children, but we don't expect them to want to just spend 3 days just delving into the scriptures. You expect them to be outside playing with friends or on their computers or whatever it is. But he had this passion and this motivation to want to know more about his heavenly Father because he realized that some things are more important than others, that some things have greater value, that some things have eternal value and other things are temporary. You know, ultimately, we need to ask ourselves, what am I going after? What is it that I'm living for? And Jesus urges us to seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. We're to love God above anything else, and we're to seek first his kingdom. There is our motivation. There is our passion, because he instructs us. But we don't, you know, this is like his vision, and he's casting it out. But he can't force you to seek first his kingdom. It can only come when you catch hold of that vision, when you catch hold of it within you because there's a connection, because there's a relationship. So when you start to walk with him and spend time with him and be about your Father's business, then you catch hold of this vision to seek first his kingdom. It says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, so we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, and what is unseen is eternal. You know, even at 12, Jesus' eyes were fixed on that which is unseen, that which was eternal. And then when he grew up, he instructs us in Matthew 6, do not lay up for yourselves treasure on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart is also. So he's encouraging us to connect with God and to think about things that are more important than our earthly concerns. You know, it's so easy to be consumed by our worries that are found in the natural, but actually we need to just give those over to God and be more concerned about the eternal. Be more concerned about how we can share the gospel and live out the calling that's on our lives to spread the good news of Jesus and leave everything else with him. Because he is our Father and he wants to bless us and he wants to love on us. We connect with God when we look to him, when we learn to hear his voice, when we're so in tune with him that our heart beats the same as his heart. So know your identity and know your heart. And then lastly, know your Father's business. When we're connected to God, not only does his strength become our strength and his joy becomes our joy, but his business becomes our business. The Father's business is your business. What Jesus says, you know, of course I had to be here. That should be the cry of our hearts. Of course we need to be about our Father's business. What else would we be doing? What else is more important than his will? What else is more important than his purpose on our life? I don't think it's coincidence that we've been talking quite a lot about purpose over the past couple of weeks. It keeps cropping up, but I believe that it's so important. Because it's not about the earthly things and about our natural worries and concerns, but about things that are eternal. Because God calls us to be connected with him so that we can live out his plans and purposes in our lives. You know, life is incomplete and meaningless if we don't know God and we don't know his plans and purposes for our lives. In Colossians chapter 1, it says, for by him all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created by him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. We're called to be connected to him. We're called to know him. We're called to recognize when he is at work. There's nothing more important about than being about the Father's business, but we need to be able to recognize when he's working, when he's moving, to see, oh, God's at work there, so let me jump in and get involved. Not to try to think what does God want and do it and perhaps get in the way of what he actually wants to do, but to just look and see, where is God moving? What is he doing right now, and how can I help to support that? Do you know, sometimes we can have in our own minds a vision or something that we believe we're called to do right here, right now. And our timing is perfect, isn't it? You know, what I've got to do, I need to do it right now because God's told me that that's what I've got to do. But before you jump headlong into that thing, just look around and see where God's moving. Are the things that God's doing right now in line with that vision, or is that not for right now? How can you support someone else's vision? It's so important, and that comes out of connection with other people. Because when we're connected with other people in a true and real way, we don't have this kind of this competitive nature that says, no, I want to push through my own will, and I want to push through my own agenda because I'm more important than you. God loves me more than you. So I'm going to do my thing, and your thing can just drift away for all I care. Well, let's just pause for a minute and see, where is God moving? What is he doing right here, right now, that you can get involved in? Because when you submit and you support someone else's vision, God sees that and he blesses that. And then when the right time comes for you to see your vision fulfilled, others will gather around you and will help you to see that through. Because God's timing is perfect. As hard as that is to see, God's timing is perfect. And it's so often not quick enough for us. It's so often not the right time in our human nature. You know, our inner self says, God, why are you not doing this thing right now? Do you not see how important it is? And he says, I see how important it is, but right now, this is more important. This is more important. And that takes humility. It takes a real sense of just willingness to submit and to die to self. Because when we're self-consumed and all we can think about is what we want to do and our own agenda, then God's not going to work in that. He wants us to support other people. He wants us to see where he is moving, to be so consumed with the Father's business right now that we can help to see that come to pass. And he blesses that and he honors that. We're called to be connected to him and to recognize him at work. As a child of the Father, we need to know the Father's business. We need to know it inside out. We need to recognize where he's moving. We need to look and see what it is that he's doing and see how we can get involved in that. Jesus was concerned with his Father's business. He wanted to know more. He asked questions. He sought out experts. He spent time in his Father's house because he had a desire to know more about the Father's business. He'd rather stay longer in the house of his Father than go on this journey with his family. And the Bible tells us that the Father's heart is for this world to know his Son, to know Jesus, and to know the power of his name. In 2 Peter chapter 3, it says, the Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance. The Father's heart is to see this world changed for him. Is to see his kingdom come. His heart is to see heaven on earth. And we want to see it right now. We want to see it right now, but his timing is perfect. And he is allowing time. He is not slow to fulfill his promise. He's just allowing the right time for it to happen, for us to recognize the Father at work and to get involved and to help to see his kingdom come through the work that we do. We need to connect with him. We need to connect with others. We need to then, through that, demonstrate his love so that others can come to know him. The most important business that the Father is about is seeing souls won for the kingdom, to see heaven full to bursting. That's the purpose. That's the plan. That's the main agenda. People need to know that they're loved. People need to know that there is hope in this life when so many feel hopeless and alone. People need the Lord. God is in the business of changing lives, and he's calling us into that business. He's in the business of changing lives. So how can we show concern for our Father's business? By getting connected to him. Because when we're connected to him, then we will easily recognize him at work. You know, this series was born out of the two greatest commandments, to love God and to love others. And we've looked at them backwards, but that was intentional, because sometimes it's useful to understand the why before the how. Because the why is to go out there and to reach people for the lost, to reach people for the kingdom, to see lost souls saved. The why is to change the world, to win people for Jesus, to share God's love through the way we interact with others, to see his kingdom come. The why is to see heaven right here on earth, bringing hope, bringing joy, bringing love and salvation and grace and strength to everyone who will hear. But the how is to be connected with God. The how is to be connected with him and to be about his business, to have this desperation and this passion and this urgency that there is nothing more important than seeing his kingdom come right here on earth. And that comes out of connectedness to him. So what can we do? We can spend time with others. We can show them God's love by the way we live our lives. We can bring God's love into our home by praying for our kids, by living the same way at home as we do at church. We can share God's love with our classmates or our workmates. We can pray for the sick. We can feed the homeless. We can help people in need. But we can only do that with the power of the Holy Spirit at working in us. And that comes out of connectedness to Him. That is what it means to be involved in His business. We're called to be the salt and light of this earth, not in church, but in the world. You can make all the difference you want when you're chatting over coffee this morning, but if you don't go out and live differently and be the salt and light in the earth and in the circumstance and situation that God has put you in, you've missed the point. Because each and every one of us has this sphere of influence that is completely different to everyone else's, because God has placed you exactly where you should be to reach exactly the people He wants you to reach. So let us be concerned in the way that Jesus was concerned. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. Do you know, we can sometimes feel this sense of doubt or insecurity because we're doing this, because we're connected to God and we're living in Him and through Him, and yet we're still not seeing the breakthrough that we're believing for, or that we're still not seeing souls won for the kingdom. But as long as you're connected to Him and you're living life like that, and you're living through the power of the Holy Spirit, and you're demonstrating God's love where you go and with the people that you meet, it's not on you to change their lives. It's on you to demonstrate His love. God will do the rest. So sometimes we don't realize the impact that we have on people's lives. You may share something with someone and then never see them again and think, oh, well, maybe that was a wasted opportunity, or maybe nothing came of it. But you don't know what that person then goes on and does. So we've just got to keep on being connected to Him, and then being connected to us, and let His love flow out of the way we live our lives, and believing that the Holy Spirit will impact people through that. And let's not be counting the number of people we've brought to God, because it's not about numbers, it's just about the heart, about your heart for living for Him. Let Him do the rest. Let the pressure of actually seeing heaven come filled to bursting be on His shoulders, not on ours. But make sure that we're connected to Him. So get connected to God. Get connected to others, and then go and change the world. Amen? Let's pray. Lord God, we thank You that You are a good God. We thank You that You love us. We thank You that You're for us. And we thank You that in You we have everything that we need. We can call on You for joy, for strength, for peace, for hope. Holy Spirit, just move in us now, I pray. Lord, again, I just feel that weight of concern in this room about things that we're facing and breakthrough that needs to happen. And I just pray that You will move mightily this morning. Let us see that breakthrough. Let us realize that breakthrough so that it doesn't hinder us from doing the work that You've called us to do. So help us to get connected to You in Jesus' name. Amen.